If you're looking to take your SEO business to the next level, you're in the right place. With weekly interviews with SEO experts from around the world, you're going to learn exactly what it takes to make money in this rapidly changing industry. This is The Lion Zeal Show. Alright, welcome back to episode number 5. In this episode, I brought on my good friend Steinis to talk about how he's doing foreign affiliate SEO. So he's going out there ranking affiliate sites in foreign languages, so not English, basically. And he's making around $10,000 per month from this. So I was really interested to ask him how exactly he's doing it, how he's ranking when it's not in English, how he's building up his PBN when it's not in English, and all those sort of questions. So if you're interested in doing foreign SEO at all, or even affiliate marketing, even if it's in English, then this is going to be a really interesting episode for you. All right, let's cut straight into it. I hope you guys enjoy. Steinis, hey man, thank you for coming on the show.
Hey dude, good to see you again.
So,
thanks.
I guess people don't really know who you are. You're not like some out there guru. Look at me, I'm so cool, guys. So, for most of the people that don't know who you are, do you want to give like a little intro?
Sure. Yeah. I'm from Denmark. I'm a 30-year-old dude that has been doing SEO for around 2 years now. I lived the last couple of years in Asia, where I met you in Thailand. And I'm doing mostly affiliate stuff. I started out with client SEO, and then I moved into affiliate SEO mostly. And now I'm branching out and doing a bit of e-commerce, Amazon e-commerce as well. So yeah, and now I'm back in Europe. I'm back in Denmark, just chilling in with good friends and family, and probably coming back to Asia soonish.
Soon, awesome.
Yeah, who knows? You never know. But I'm probably staying here for a couple of months. When the summer is good in Denmark, it's amazing. But we only got like one or two good months, and then it's shitty. So I'm gonna use it.
Fair enough. So, okay, you're the first affiliate guy I've actually interviewed on this. Everyone else has been like crushing it actually with client stuff. So, what made you switch then from the client SEO stuff to the affiliate stuff?
It was mostly just that I don't like people so much. I don't wanna fucking deal with clients. I can swear, right? That's not
gangster.
But I don't like I got into online marketing because I wanted to be my own boss. I wanted to just have freedom. I don't like dealing with that many people. So when I started to do client SEO, it was better, I guess, than having a normal job, but you're still responsible for those, you know, your clients. You still have to pick up the phone when they call you. You can't go on like a 1 month to some weird place without any Wi-Fi because who knows what's going to happen to your client sites. And also, I feel like, at least for me, I don't want to be on the phone like cold calling and trying to sell. That's not my forte. That's not what I'm good at. So affiliate stuff is just way easier to automate. It's way less interaction with other people. So yeah, that as soon as I got the budget, like I got the money to start getting into affiliate stuff, that seemed way more attractive.
That makes sense. But before you did that, you had a client, didn't you? Or multiple, I can't remember.
Yeah, I had 1.5 client, I guess, like one recurring thing that kind of like gave me enough money to live and be okay in Thailand, where you can live really cheaply. Yeah, I closed a client after like a month or two. I knew you at that point. You gave me some good pointers. I remember like, yeah, you get the phone call, the consultation down. Now you have to ask about that and that. And I wrote down what you said, and we did the call, and it went fine. I was really nervous, but it went fine. And he paid me, I think, around $1,500 a month for like half a year. So until I actually fired him. So that was kind of like a cool win, or like a cool situation, I guess.
Nice. You should have shared that client with someone. I would just get rid of them. But
yeah, I guess so.
So what do you do then with affiliate marketing? Because it's pretty vague, really.
Yeah, I do foreign SEO. Since I'm European and I know Danish fluent, that's my first language. So I started getting into Danish SEO just because I did not really have that much money, but I had a lot of time. So Denmark might not be a really good place to start out with because it's such a small country, so the searches are way lower, of course. But the competition is also way easier, way less. So I'm ranking for some really competitive health keywords, like weight loss and stuff like that, in these smaller European countries, which would have been impossible in the US, right? But because it's a small country, you can go after the really hard keywords, which are not hard, because nobody's fucking ranking for it. So it's like, it's a trade-off. You have way lower volume, but you can go after the money keywords, like where there's a lot of buyer intent behind and a lot of like frustration and stuff like that. So I started out doing Danish sites, and then now it's grown. So now I'm doing a lot of different European countries. I'm in Germany, I'm in Italy, I'm in the Netherlands, awesome. And also doing the Northern Europe.
Really cool. Okay, I guess you can get quite a lot of questions on foreign SEO stuff. Let's start with, without getting like super technical, because we don't have anything to really represent it, so it'd be kind of difficult to explain it anyway. But is foreign SEO much different if you were to target like the US or the UK? Is it much different between it?
Yeah, I think so. I have a theory that like, it's way easier to get away with the scammy or like spammy stuff. You have certain niches that are really fucking penalized in the US. Like if you're targeting some like weight loss terms or like stuff like that, it's going to be impossible to get a site up there without it having some kind of penalization on it as soon as it hits site page one. But if you go to a smaller country like Denmark, my theory is that there's a team at Google that's responsible for every single country, right? So the team that's responsible for, like, let's say Scandinavia or something like that, they're only like a team of 10 people or something. So it's going to be way harder for them to look at all the sites coming through page one.
Okay.
Because like the US people don't know if my site is spammy or not because they can't understand the content. They can Google Translate it, I guess, but that's not that effective, right?
Yeah.
I've just realized that like if you look at page number one in Denmark for like whatever payday loans, it's a lot of affiliate stuff. But if you go to like the US, it's all like legit big authority sites, right? Of course, it's also because they have the power to rank, but I think it's a combination. You can see it as soon as it's an English-speaking country, there's almost – it's pretty hard to get an affiliate site up in the really spammy keywords. So that's a huge advantage if you do foreign SEO.
Does that mean you're just like straight up spamming your sites, or what's your approach to it?
No, not really spammy, but I think you can be I think you can get away with more stuff. I still try to be cautious just because I don't want my sites to get fucked in half a year. But I do think you can get away with more stuff. And you do see weird stuff. You do see like a guy ranked for some like weight loss term having like 50% exact max anchor text, right? You do see stuff that like that in foreign SEO. So I do think you can get away with more. But I just try and keep it safe. So I do it like the proper way.
Fair enough, yeah.
Also, Matt talked about it, I think, on his webinar. I don't know if everybody that's watching this this call has seen it, but he said that like you can. It's kind of like a time machine. Foreign SEO is a half a year behind what's going on in the US and the international SERPs. So you can kind of project what will happen to your sites, right?
Yeah.
So if there's an update going on in the US right now, penalizing sites with O-optimized anchor text, you can take precautions and make sure that your site will be okay when that update gets rolled out to all the different other countries.
For sure, yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm.
So if someone wants to get into foreign SEO and they don't want to compete with you and your keywords and stuff, then how do they do it if they don't speak the language? So I presume some of the countries you're targeting, you don't speak that many languages.
No, I don't. I think if you are not a native English speaker, you should start in your own country, especially if you're starting out, because you will have time to what I started out doing when I started doing the Danish site, I took big health sites that was in the US and I just translated the articles pretty much. I don't know how like in terms of like the legal stuff, if that's something you can do.
Yeah.
But I mean, who cares, right? We're SEO people. So I went to a site that I liked that had a good article about whatever I was trying to rank for. And I just pretty much copy-pasted the content and translated it myself. That took a lot of time and was annoying as fuck, but I had the time, right? So I just did that a lot. That was free content right there. So that, I think that's an excellent way to get free, excellent content for free. And also, so now when I'm building sites where I don't know the language, I hire translators. And that makes my life way more easy. I also have translators in Danish because I don't want to do it myself anymore. It's really boring. But if you don't have the money, you have the time, just do it yourself. But if you have the money, you go on Odesk, I guess it's called now, right?
No, it's the old name. It's Upwork.
Upwork. Exactly. You go on Upwork, you just hire a translator and you make a deal. You hire them on like an hourly basis or a project basis, and you just send them your articles through. I have like five or four different translators now working, and I just send them like an article once a week that they need to translate, and that goes up on my sites, and it's pretty much all automated. They have access to my VP backend, and they just go in and they create a draft for the article, and I just approve it and put in whatever links I want. So it's like really easy to get content like that. And it's cheaper than having like writers write them themselves, right?
Yeah. Do you get any help then? Like, with anchor text and stuff, I mean?
That I figure out myself. Okay. But also to make it a bit more legit, so I always try to link back to the site where I got the content. Just so if the site figure out, oh, this guy is just like using our content in German, that's not cool. At least I send them a link saying, oh, you guys, this is where I found the article, and hopefully that will make them happy.
Okay, fair enough, yeah. It's not as bad, it's just like syndication.
Exactly. And I mean, there's no duplication penalties going on because it's in another language, so it's fine. And also, just to be extra safe, I have my translators mix it up a little bit, you know, like not completely translate word for word, but mix up the paragraphs a little bit, add maybe like a couple of sentences themselves. So it's not like unique content, but it's okay.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so within affiliate marketing, because you said it's affiliate and you're doing foreign SEO and stuff, but within affiliate marketing, there's like CPA stuff, there's like product stuff where you promote products. Like, without giving away everything, like a little bit more specific on what type of affiliate marketing it is.
Yeah, I do supplements, so I get commission per sale. Okay. I get like a 25% commission when I sell a certain supplement. That's the model I use. So my sites are built like they are authority sites, so people come and read about the science behind the
some kind of like. You said that in such a bad way. The science.
It's so scary. Actually, yeah, I mean you can do what you want. But it's like science that has been proven about this like weight loss method, and then I recommend somewhere they can buy it. That's basically the model I do, and that's just like pre-qualifying the site that I'm sending them to, right?
Gotcha.
So now people like trust the site. Of course, I'm using like people like good vendors that delivers, but then people go to the site and they buy because I talked about how amazing this product is, and they trust the vendor, right? So I get like 10 to 20% of the referrals, they buy something. So that's pretty good. That's a pretty good conversion rate, I think.
Yeah, that's good. 10% click through. That's decent, yeah, for sure. Okay, so I've had this, and I know for sure you've had it before. Have you built sites before for affiliate keywords or whatever, you've ranked it up, you start getting traffic and effort, and you just can't make any money out of it, or not enough to really justify the effort you put into it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's actually like my only site that I made in an international site. it's still ranking and it's still got like 1,000 visitors a day, but it's making me like almost no money, like $200 to $500 a month maybe, and I spend so much time on that.
I annoying. Remember.
Yeah, I talked to you. I was like, dude, how the fuck do I make money on this site? I have all this traffic coming through, but nothing is happening. And I tried so much different stuff, and I still try because I'm like, these people.
It's already ranking,
Yeah, exactly. Like, these people must be willing to buy something. It's in the dating niche, which is pretty popular as well. So that's been really frustrating. But I kind of just accepted that, like, some keywords just have no buying intent behind them, right? So, I mean, even if you have a lot of traffic, people searching for elephant or whatever, they're probably not going to buy my weight loss product, right? I mean, it has to be, like, related.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to tie it into, is that, what do you do to avoid doing that now? Is that buyer intent?
Buying intent, yeah. I mean, I have my site that are working, and I just duplicate that throughout different countries. So I know this product sells pretty well, and I know the format I need to make my site in that will hype the product in a way that make people buy it. So when I got that in Denmark and I got that in Germany, why stop there? Why not just do it in France and Italy and all the other countries? And you can even go outside of Europe. You can go to like South America or India or China or Japan or whatever you want to, right?
Yeah.
They have different search engines, right? But I mean, a lot of places at least. So, I mean, why make it more complicated than it already is? Just if you have something that's working, just double down on that instead of trying to do other stuff. That's my philosophy.
I completely agree with that. It's really good, especially affiliate marketing.
Yeah. I mean, it's so easy also to duplicate it. I have my VAs that just like, yeah, you take this site and you create it again over here with the same setup, the same logos, the same like everything, the same plugins.
Yeah, it's a lot easier than something completely new from scratch.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, of course, when I grow big enough, that's going to be too small of a space, but that's going to take a while, so I'm not worried about that so far.
Yeah, no, that's really good advice, and I feel like marketing almost, what I've you know, it's worked for me, and I've seen a lot of guys that are doing well, do the same thing, is that they just find something that works really well, or a specific offer, or a niche, or type of keywords, and they just solely just focus on that, and just scale it to the moon.
Mm. Yeah, don't try and reinvent the, how do you say in English, like the...
The wheel?
The wheel, yeah. That's excellent. Yeah, just like also just see what other people are doing. Like that's what I did in the beginning. Like with Client SEO, for example, just fucking take a script and use that. Or like you know somebody that's doing well in affiliate marketing, ask them if they're a good friend and they trust you. Ask if they can see the site maybe and like look at the different elements and see what works. And then of course not be an asshole and copy it, but do your own version of that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just like see what works and then copy it. Don't try and like be all inventive.
You have to iterate that you're not everyone's best friend or close friend here before they all message you like, hey man, can I see your site?
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen. But I mean, like Charles Flo, for example, he put up in his affiliate course, he put out a site about paintball guns where you can see the site and you can see the whole... like how everything works, and I think there's a lot of examples like that out there. Just take what they're doing and copy it to your own niche.
Cool. So how did you so you obviously at some point you decided to go into this niche, you found the office and stuff, and the first thing I always get asked about affiliate marketing is like, where do I get the office from? So obviously you don't have to tell people the networks you're on, you probably don't want to, I wouldn't, but how did you go about finding that first offer in the first place?
I think I went to OfferVault and then I just searched for the country I was in.
Okay.
I just searched for Denmark or something like that. And then I was shown a different offers and I just took whatever had the highest commission. that was my brilliant strategy when I started out. But then actually when I started ranking and I started getting a lot of traffic, I got contacted from different vendors asking if I wanted to promote their products. Okay. And that's kind of like an interesting place to be because now I have different different offers that are like competing for my site, right? So that also makes me able to get some like lucrative deals going on because I have leverage. I have like, I'm a valuable dude now.
Yeah, it's cool. That makes sense. And also, yeah, then you can test offers and stuff. I presume you did that sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I test like on a weekly basis. I normally, for example, if I have a vendor that has three different kind of like supplements,
yeah,
and they do pretty much the same thing. They're all some kind of like probiotics or fish oil or whatever. You just change out the offer every single week and you look at the stats. Or you change it out when you have enough data at least. So if you have like 1,000 clicks gone through, you can see, okay, this had like a 5% conversion rate, but this one had a 10% conversion rate. Of course, you take the one that gives you the highest commission.
Yeah. So you said that you're also getting into e-commerce stuff now.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. So like what I just said about doubling down on what works, I guess I'm not doing that all the time. But this is a little bit different. I want to be safe. I want to not be 100% reliable on of SEO. Okay. As I feel like, I mean, SEO is always going to be like a cat and mouse thing. And my sites that I'm doing PBNs to and like a bit gray hat or black hat or whatever you want to call it, strategies,
yeah,
they are going to get penalized at some point. It probably won't be in a month or two because I'm trying to do it safe. But in a year or 2 years or something like that, at some point, most likely they're going to get penalized. And I don't want to see my income be completely gone from one day to the other. So I'm just getting into e-commerce to diversify my income streams. And also, I think SEO is like a really excellent tool to have on the side of doing e-commerce. So like now I'm selling my own products and I can hype them with my own affiliate sites promoting my own products. Instead of promoting other people's products,
yeah,
now I have my own products that like I already had affiliate sites doing hyping that a specific product. Now I just switch the offer to my own stuff. I already have sites ranked, so it's like really easy to get a lot of sales.
Yeah, it actually is kind of doubling down.
Also, that intertwines. Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. It's all like coming together. And also, like in Amazon, if you're trying to rank in Amazon, you have to like have a lot of sales. Like the guy that are selling the most is gonna be number one, pretty much. I think okay. It goes like that. I don't know exactly, but it's something like that. The guy with the best conversion rate, the guy that's putting like giving the most money to Amazon, right? Of course, Amazon is gonna put them at the top of their search engine for whatever keyword.
Yeah.
So when you're bringing all this external traffic that's not just coming from Amazon itself,
yeah,
Amazon will really like you because you're bringing them free traffic that is already giving them money. So how awesome is that? So of course you're going to make more sales than the guys not doing that, and that will make you rise internally in Amazon. And yeah, boom, all coming together.
Awesome. No, it's actually really clever because you're already focused on that niche anyway. You want to scale it up. And I think it's a big differentiator, I guess, a way of looking at it is that SEO is just a traffic source. And we're like mastering one traffic source, but there is multiple ways of making money from it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like SEO by itself is not going to make you money. It's like how you use the traffic, right?
Yeah.
And you can do that in so many ways.
Cool. So I'm kind of curious. Not, it doesn't really matter that much. I'm just kind of curious. You make more money from promoting your own products than you do from the affiliate stuff.
Not yet, but it looks really promising. I've only been doing e-commerce. It's just a little side product so far. I've only been doing e-commerce for like 3 or 4 months now, 3 months, I guess. And of course, since I'm a noob in that space, I made a lot of mistakes. I just ran out of inventory because I was selling so much. So I've been out of inventory for like two weeks, which is pretty bad in Amazon. That will make you drop in their internal engines and so on and so on. But I learned a lot. Like when you're trying out something new, you're gonna fuck up, right? So I learned a lot already. But it's already like it's a pretty substantial part of my income, maybe like one fourth or one third. So I'm not complaining.
A few months ago?
I started the whole process maybe like half a year. But okay. Like the product has only been for sale for like 3 months or so. Because it takes some time to like find out what you want to sell. You have to ask contact a supplier, a manufacturer. You have to get samples, all that FBA stuff, you know. That's a whole different business model. But it takes a bit of time.
Awesome, man. Okay, so let's switch up the topic a little bit. We covered a little bit on affiliate and you're doing your e-commerce stuff, which I think is pretty awesome that you're trying out different mediums versus just trying to make money as an affiliate. Why don't I go into travel stuff? Because that's something you've done the entire time. In fact, from starting the whole business, you weren't even in Denmark, you were in Thailand. So
I met you in Chiang Mai, and we've been hanging out in Chiang Mai and in Vietnam.
Yeah.
So in Thailand and Vietnam, yeah.
So I'm trying to figure a question about like travel. Do you think it was better for you to leave like Denmark and go somewhere like Chiang Mai, or not even Chiang Mai specifically, but just go somewhere like that to, I guess, meet other people? I think that was pretty useful for you.
Yeah, this is really important. I don't think, to be honest, I don't think I've had success if I did not go to Thailand. I dropped out of my engineering degree and I traveled to Thailand because my mentor said this is a place to be. And I don't want it to be a fucking engineer. I was really bored in my education. So I just dropped everything, to my parents' big disappointment, of course. And I moved to Thailand to start doing online marketing. And it took a lot of time before I started. I mean, maybe I was a bit slow, but it took me probably like more than half a year before I started, before I could just sustain myself, before I made enough money to live off. And I don't think I could have gone through month after month just like losing money and not succeeding without having dudes sitting next to me that was doing it, that was like killing it, having the life that I wanted. If it was not right there, if it was some random guy online, I was like, oh, I have this lifestyle, you know, like I wouldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. So seeing it with my own eyes and like having you and like other people next to me that I could ask, like, why is this not working? What am I doing wrong? That was so, so important to me. And also just like cutting your, not being able to go back. I think that was a big thing. Like when I moved from Denmark to Thailand and I said goodbye to all my friends and family, and I'm saying I'm going on this quest to build an empire, right? They're like, yeah, of course, dude, whatever. You're going to be back here in 2 weeks. So you have that pressure on you that was really healthy for me. Like, I'm not coming back unless I'm fucking have made it in some way, at least.
Yeah, like you're going to make it. That's your only option.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, that works. Like, if you have no other options, you're going to do it. So I went month after month, like, working on myself. I had a lot of issues with, like, procrastination and mindset stuff that you also helped me with, about money and stuff like that. But, like, the month just passed, and I was not really making any money.
Yeah.
And, of course, when I was, like, running dry on my bank account, I was really broke. I was like, I don't have any money next month to live off. That is when I started working, like, my ass off, working, like, 15 hours a day, just doing whatever it took. And I made it. Like I got my client right before I start having no money. I started making a little bit of other money from selling PBNs I found and all these different things. You figure a way. Yeah. If you are like under enough pressure, you will do what it takes.
So you're telling everyone, get in a bunch of debt, quit your job, get in pressure, then you're good.
Exactly. No, I'm just saying, like, I think it's a good idea to try and like make this the only path. Like, if you are sitting at home right now and this is your dream and you want to be able to travel the world and just have some kind of passive income, it's going to take a little bit of time. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not going to be like that or a couple of weeks. So you have to commit. You have to like make it so hard for yourself to not turn around, so you can only go fucking forward on this path. And traveling to another country, meeting other people, that is definitely like another barrier to not go back. You know,
definitely. But it's definitely like really beneficial to like surround yourself with people that are not only doing the same thing as you, but also already in a situation that you're like literally aiming to achieve.
Yeah. It's so inspirational when you sit there. You sit at a cafe in Chiang Mai, right? And you're surrounded by the same thing, like fighting on the fucking virtual battlefield, trying to make it, right? It's really inspirational, and you have lunch and dinner together, and you talk about your frustrations, like, oh, I'm working so hard, it's not working, and they're like, yeah, I know, and I mean, just sharing that frustration and helping each other when you have questions, it's like, it's so important, and that's just like, it works online, like you can ask on Facebook, but it's even better in person. You create personal relationships that are really fucking valuable.
Yeah, for sure. So if someone wants to move to, let's say Chiang Mai, because we're both there, and someone is going to take you up on what you said, like they're thinking, oh yeah, I'm not really earning much now, but I want to travel, let's just fully commit, let's move to Chiang Mai now, and let's start meeting people and doing this. Can you give them an idea of what they could like live in Chiang Mai on, and what you were like getting by on when you first like got there?
Yeah, I was just not as cheap as possible, I still wanted to like be okay.
The audio's kind of messing up, by the way.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's how you're holding it or something. I can hear you, it's like you're blocking it.
Really?
Yep, that's good now.
No, it's okay?
Yeah.
Better? Okay. So I was spending $500 a month living in Chiang Mai, which is like really fucking cheap. And I was living in a studio, but it's a nice studio. Like, it was clean. I got cleaning once every second week. It was like with aircon. It was in the middle of the city. Good location. You know, safe. All that crap. I mean, it was pretty good. And I was eating out three times a day. I was eating, of course, local food, right?
Yeah.
But like really good food that, like homemade good quality food, and that's just the power of living in Thailand, living in a third world country, that you can eat a bowl of like really delicious noodle and they will cost you $1 or something like that.
And
it's also really fast. Like, you're sitting at a cafe working and you can go around the corner, get your lunch, eat it, and be back at work within like 15 minutes or so. You can like really optimize your work schedule if you want to. Compared to like in the West, where you have like, oh, you have to go to a restaurant and you sit down and you order, and or you make your food yourself and you have to do the dishes and shop. Like, I mean, it's just a lot of, in Asia, it's just really easy to get like a portion of food, you fucking eat it and you're gone. You know, it's like, it's really fast.
Yeah. I think that distinction you made is that you're sitting and working in a cafe, then you go food, then you come right back. Like, you are living in this place and you're working properly. It's not like you just like sit at a beach all day and then go grab your laptop for 30 minutes and like, not that there's a beach in Chiang Mai anyway, but like a lot of people have this belief that because we're like abroad all the time that we must be just chilling all day and doing nothing.
Yeah, that's like the digital nomad disillusion, I guess, where you're just living in a beach. But actually, when you try it, it sucks. Like, a laptop and sun does not work really well together.
You can't see the screen.
You can't see it, and you're sweaty. You don't want to work when you're sweaty and you're warm.
Yeah.
You have to be inside an aircon, and you have to have good Wi-Fi. And if you're living on a beach, that's really hard. So what a lot of people are doing, they work during the week, and if you have the time and if you need a break, you go down to the coast, to the beach, and you stay there for like a weekend to chill, right?
Yeah.
But you can also use pools in the cities and stuff like that. But I just think that, at least for Americans, they think living in Asia is, I mean, now I'm being judgmental, right? But like, at least I think the majority think that it's like a shitty life. You have an amazing life for almost no money. You live like a fine studio that's clean. You go to cafes and you can like order good coffee, like really high quality coffee. You have good food.
Yeah.
you have good hospitals, you have like you have all the possibilities that you have back home, almost. Of course, not like weird stuff. Like you can't get organic fucking kombucha or whatever you want to. But
I can see all the Americans leaving like hateful comments now.
Yeah, fuck this European American back home.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. So, it's freaking awesome. You can live like a king for like a couple of thousand of dollars. Like now that I have enough money to do whatever I want in Asia, I can't spend more than like $3,000 or something like that. And then I'm really trying. I'm eating fucking steaks. I'm like living at a really nice places. It can't get any better. Yeah. And I can't spend more than $3,000. Like that would be impossible back in Denmark or in the US, in the big cities in the US. Like you can spend that in like a week if you want to, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like, it's amazing. And you can also live for like $500 and be fine. Like I had a fine life. I was not thinking about, oh, I can't go to the movies when the new X-Men movie is out. I can't like go get that kind of food. It's like, yeah, you live your life and you don't go like do crazy stuff, but you have a fine life for $500.
Yeah, cool. So I guess as like a last sort of topic we'll get into, what is your work life like these days? I know you work pretty hard, maybe not when you're in Denmark, maybe you're chilling a little bit. Have you brought out the Xbox or anything?
Yeah, I brought out the big laptop, the big gaming laptop.
Really?
It's back in action, yeah. Yeah, I was a gamer. I am a gamer by heart, so I did a lot of gaming back when before I started this kind of like lifestyle. But when I'm traveling, I just have my Mac also to make sure that I'm not gaming because that would just consume your time like nothing else, right? So now that I'm back, I'm like chilling. I'm at a friend's place right now, just hanging out with good friends, seeing family again, just enjoying the good summer.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to get in like 1 or 2 hours of work every day. I don't have to. Like my whole business is set up, so I'm pretty much out of the equation. Okay. If I could get away with like an hour of work, maybe like every week, maybe even less. Yeah. And that would be fine. That will like bring up. That will like be sending out emails to my VAs, to my staff, telling them what to do. And like, if something happens, you get an email for some like your company legal stuff or whatever, or a PBN got de-indexed. You know, something happened. You know, you never know. Then you have to spend a little bit of time on it. But that's it. Like, that's it. Whatever time I use now is just used on growth. So I put in the hours because I wanna build more. I wanna have more, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I could spend 0 hours pretty much, or I could spend like 8 or 10 hours, and I often choose to do that just because I think it's fun. It's like a game for me now. It's like you have all this money just laying out here, and why not? Why would I not just like go and grab it? It's like
okay. So you're working that easy? Like 8 or 10 hours when you're at your best these days?
Maybe that is actually a little bit too ambitious. When I was at my best, I worked around 10, 12, even like 15 hours. Like when I was starting out and really broke, that was my life. I just worked every single hour. So like that's 15 hours almost a day. But now I think a more realistic bet would be around 5 hours or something like that.
Okay.
Also because now I'm in a position where I don't, like often I'm working for a couple of hours and I'm like, what the fuck should I do? Like all my tasks is like outsourced. Yeah. I don't want to do all the stuff myself. So I'm like, oh, okay, I got the planning down. I got my VAs working. Now I don't really have anything. So that's a really good position to be in, I guess.
Awesome. And you're still, even though you can do that, you still have new sites and stuff you're building all the time and stuff, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. And I mean, yeah, optimizing old sites, running A/B tests, contacting different kind of people for like offers or blog posts. I'm also getting more into White Hat SEO because I see some great results from it. So I'm trying to like do more outreach and
nice.
Yeah, it's working out pretty well.
Awesome. Okay, so we're already at 38 minutes, so we're going pretty long. So let me end it with like a final question of What are you looking to achieve from now? So you've already got to the stage you're at, and you've grown really, really quick, haven't you? Like, you said you were like a year and a half and you're really like struggling to just get by. And then like, what was it, like a year and a half since then? And it just like completely flipped around.
Yeah, like now, I mean, it's crazy. I can pretty much live in any country in the world having a really good life.
Yeah.
Like exactly. I have the freedom that I was like so passionate about achieving 2 years ago. And even more than that, like I can't spend the money that I'm making. So it's pretty crazy, but you always want to take it to another level. At least for me, I'm a very competitive dude. So when I'm hanging around you, when I'm hanging around other like Matt Diggity, when I'm like around people that are on the next level, that inspires me. I don't want to be below anybody. I want to be at least at the same level, right?
Yeah.
So that's a big goal for me, to always like have another level. So now, I don't know if you want any numbers, but
it's up to you. Whatever you want to share.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't care. I'm like, I'm close to the 10K mark. I'm not quite there yet in profit a month, right? But yeah. I'm close to it. So I can kind of see that has been my goal for like some time now, like half a year or so. So yeah, I'm like really trying to get over that magical number. But then when I'm over that number, it's going to be 50K, right? And then when I get to that level, it's going to be 100K a month. So it's fun. It's like a game now. Now I don't need the money, but it's just like, it's fun. Yeah, I love it.
That switch is good. It's that switch. You're coming from like an abundance mindset now.
Oh.
Which, I don't know. For me, like, it completely changed after. Like, you just feel completely different. Do you feel like better when you're working? Like it's just more fun? And I guess it makes sense that it is than when you're struggling. Like, I need to do this to pay the bills versus. It's a game now.
Yeah, definitely. It's a different approach. And to be honest, I miss it a little bit. I miss the fucking pressure, like, of me doing my very best. Like, that is, I was all in. I was just so fucking focused. So that's hard to get back to that, because now it's just fun. But yeah. I also think that's a good thing, because now I don't have all this pressure, so I can make decisions that definitely. Are better for my company and my future. So now I can like try out different things with my SEO, or maybe like do things that I'm not comfortable with, that's going to crash some sites, but it's okay, because I'm not like going to get fucked if I lose that kind of money, right? I have security now. So it's different, and I guess it's a good thing, but I'm just the kind of person that performs the best under pressure. So I'm also trying to like build my life, so I put a lot of pressure on myself. So, but yeah, it's just a different approach.
Fair enough. That makes sense. Okay, so final question, because I have a really bad habit with like just going longer and longer and longer. So final question, like, what's your like 12-month plan from here?
12-month plan? I want to make the e-commerce thing the biggest part of my company. Okay. So I want the SEO to be a side business, something that just supports my main income stream. So I want to build that out to be more than 50% of my monthly income. Okay. And then I want to scale just the affiliate stuff. I just want to replicate what I'm doing now and build it out to fucking all of Europe, maybe something like that. For the keywords that I'm targeting, right?
Yeah.
And then at least double my income, right? Like go from 10 to 20 or something like that. That's my 12-year plan. That's 2016, actually. I guess that's a 6-month plan.
Nice. Yeah, that's already halfway through the year nearly.
Yeah, it's fast. Yeah, awesome, dude.
Awesome to see how much you've grown from when we first like met and started talking and stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah, you've seen me from like having nothing to now like having the life I was talking about. When I first met you, I was like, dude, can you teach me how to make 3K a month? That would be amazing. And you're like, don't fucking, like, that's fine, but think bigger. Like, why not, if you're going for 3K, why not go for 10K? Or like, always trying to push me, right? And I see it now. I'm like, yeah, a dream of 3K. I mean, that's okay if that's what you want. But with online marketing, it's just so easy to scale. So why stop there?
Yeah, you have to make the conscious decision to basically stop at 3K.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like, no, I don't want any more money. Like, who would say that?
Yeah. All right, sweet. We're 43 minutes in. Thanks for coming on the show. This is really cool. It's really fun chatting with you.
Awesome. No worries. Anytime, dude.
All right, man. Don't have a cool ending to the video. So thanks, guys, for tuning in. And I'll see you guys in next week's episode.
Bye.
If you want to learn more about how to scale your SEO business, head over to lionzeal.com. That's lionzeal.com.